Good morning. It is great to be with you all this morning, praising the Lord. Again, I thank you all for just the opportunity to get here, and it's with all humility and humbleness that I bring you this lesson this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew the 5th chapter. Nate, I appreciate you reading our Bible passage this morning, Psalm 126. We'll come back to that passage at the close of our lesson this morning. But I want to begin here in Matthew chapter 5. So something that I've come to realize and meditate upon this summer is this particular lesson that I'm bringing to you this morning. And it is just a simple reminder, and one of which you may have known, or maybe you have forgotten, but we serve a good God. He is a giving God. And the fact that we are all alive today here in this place is proof evident of that. And I think oftentimes we take for granted the many things He continually gives to us. And I don't want to say that we are selfish people, but to some degree it is kind of innately built into us. We take for granted this thing called life. We take for granted the luxuries that we have. But God is an ever-giving God. Not based on something that we've done. We've not earned some favor in God's eyes, and because we've done so, He showers blessings upon us. But rather, God is a giving God. It is in His very nature to give. He gave life to this place. He gives life to the people. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, He says something interesting, and I believe it's what has led me to deeper think about this summer. And it's actually an interesting statement that Jesus makes, and one that might be like, oh, okay, Jesus, that is an interesting thought, that's cool. But this is Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse number 17, and Jesus says, "Don't assume that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished." There it is. It's how we know God is a giving God. You know, we don't know that, and you might not know this because maybe you don't speak Hebrew. But Jesus did. And His listeners heard Him. And they heard exactly what He was saying. The English alphabet is an interesting one. It's kind of an amalgamation of other languages. We've created and crafted our own. But there was a people once, the Israelite nation, they also created their own language. In fact, their alphabet spanned some 22 letters. And we're going to look at two of them. It's number 10 and number 11. You guys are ready to hear them? You're really excited. I can see it. You're sitting on the edge of your seats, right? It's the Yod and the Kef. Have you ever heard this before? Oh, it's fascinating stuff. I know it. It's already blown your mind. It's already transformed your worlds. And it should. Because it's some truly beautiful, beautiful stuff. And Jesus, and I will read this again. Jesus says, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished." God has a purpose. He has a will and He has a mission. And we just so happen to be a part of that. And God will accomplish His mission. And He can use us. And He will continue to give. Turn with me. Psalm 119. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in front of you, and I would encourage you to grab one of those. This particular section in the book of Psalm, the psalmist goes through poetically through the Hebrew alphabet, and they begin with each letter in the alphabet begins a new stanza or a new phrase, and it builds upon this overarching theme. And again, like I said earlier, we're looking at the Yod and the Kef. But what we will begin with is that 11th letter, the Kef. And it's a really interesting one because what the Kef actually symbolizes, and it looks like a backward C, but what it represents is the outstretched hand. In fact, it's the open hand. It's a bowl. It's a cup. It's a basin waiting to be filled. Let's read this passage. Psalm 119, starting with verse number 81. I long for your salvation. I put my hope in your word. In my eyes, they grow weary looking for what you have promised. I asked, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin, dried, shriveled by the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. I do not forget your decrees. I do not forget your teaching. How many days must your servant wait? When will you execute judgment on my persecutors? They have dug pits for me. They violate your instruction. And all your commands are true. People persecute me with lies. Help me. And they almost ended my life on earth, but I did not abandon your precepts. Give me life in accordance with your faithful love, and I will obey your decree you have spoken. And do you hear that the prayer here, that's really what this is. It's a cry. Help me. Where are you, Lord? And maybe you've been in this place before where your heart has been broken, where you find yourself constantly in need and approaching God with the outstretched hand, with the humbled heart, with the bent knees, the arched back, and humility and in submission. Where are you, God? And I guess I connect pretty heavily with this passage, and maybe some of you do as well. We've had an interesting year here at Central, one of which, for me, has probably been the most pleasurable, but the most difficult year. But it's been a great year. It's been one of amazing growth. It's been one of which I have witnessed our church do some really amazing things and go through some really difficult times. And really the way that I've viewed our church this year is like this, is in submission to God with the outstretched hand, the Kef. And these are the letters in which Jesus speaks about fulfillment. How do I know that? Because what Jesus actually is talking about is the Yod, and it's the passage just before this. And the Yod is one of the simplest of things. And you may even pass over it. You may miss it because what it is just a little mark, just a little dash. And maybe if you were too busy or you wanted to get your daily Bible reading in, you'd read it and you'd just quickly scroll over or quickly pass over it and think nothing of it. And this is the specific passage in which Jesus says, God will never allow these to pass away. And the Yod is actually a very specific thing. Like the Kef is the outstretched hand, the Yod is actually the hand of God. And these two passages are one and the same. They're God's response to his people. As we ask for God's help, as we ask a giving God to give, the Yod is there, and it's the simplest of things. And oftentimes, don't we miss when God is giving to us? We miss the things that God is blessing us with. 119, verse number 73. Your hands made me and formed me. We serve a giving God. Even before you and I were alive, God was a giving God. And He created you and I with, and He fashioned us with His own hands. So give me understanding so that I can learn Your commands. And if we pray this, if we ask this, if we stretch our hand out and we say, God, we want to know Your truth. We want to know Your purpose, Your will. Then we must know that God will supply that. He will give that. And for me, it's a very transformative thought in which I have read through this before, but for whatever reason, this summer has brought to this remembrance in my heart just how good God is. And we'll look at a little bit more of this in the Sermon on the Mount. I believe that Jesus gives us some even simpler instruction how to understand and how to address this giving God. And I just quickly ask you to turn there. But just bear this in mind, this concept. And I hope that what it does is that it encourages you. That it motivates you to understand why you ask God for things. Why you actually do pray to Him. You don't pray to Him just simply because He's out there listening, but because He actually is a giving God. You would never ask God a thing if He actually would never give you a thing. And this is what Jesus actually talks about in the Sermon on the Mount toward the close of His lesson. Let's turn there. We're at Matthew, the 7th chapter. Starting with verse number 7, Jesus speaks about prayer a lot. And I would argue that this is really the basis of this concept of the kef and the yod. This is how we approach God. We pray. We spend time in meditation and thinking. And this is how we respond to God. And this is how He responds to us. This Jesus, the Son of God, He is God. And this is what He says. Matthew 7, verse number 7. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who searches, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And Jesus goes in to describe this analogy in what we would consider a familial concept. And Jesus says, and what man among you, if his sons ask for bread, will he give him a stone? Verse number 11, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask of Him? So when we have our children come to us and ask us for food, for sustainment, would we give them something that would harm them? No. We even know how to give good things. How much more does our Heavenly Father, who is the Creator of all things, how much more does He give? And Jesus says that God gives good gifts. He gives good things to those who ask Him. You know, and I spend a little time in this concept because what it has done, it has transformed my prayer life. This summer, it's transformed the way that I've approached God, the way that I've been studying the Word, in a way that has never done for me before. And what I believe that Jesus also does here is shows us this pattern of repetition that we must be engaging with God. And He shows us that not only is it repetition, but it is in all facets of our life do we find opportunities to seek out God in His good gifts. Jesus says, we ask Him. Jesus says, we search for Him. We look for Him. Jesus says, we knock on the door for Him. And Jesus says, you continually do these things. You keep asking. You keep searching. You keep knocking. And God will give. He will sustain. He will open. But all of this boils down to really a simple concept that in in concept is simple, but in practice becomes probably arguably the most difficult thing about Christianity, and that is the practice of it. How do I keep asking? How do I keep seeking? How do I keep knocking? Share with you just a couple more passages and we'll draw to a close this morning. And we're going to stay here in the Sermon on the Mount because I believe that Jesus gives us some depth here in understanding. And again, I believe that it's very simple fundamentally, but in practice becomes challenging. Previously to this text that we just read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, well, that whole section there, verses 25 through around 34, Jesus discusses this concept about just life in general, the idea of anxiety, the worries, the stresses that we have about food and sustainment, the thing about whether what we're going to wear, how we're going to provide. And Jesus says the cure for all of this, really, or the solution for all of this is simply to trust in God. And how do we do that? Jesus says in verse number 33 of Matthew chapter 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, and all of these things would be provided to you." And here we see the kef and the yod again. You seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness. And the yod, the ever-extended hand of God, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the all-giving, the all-knowing, He's there. You seek first the righteousness of God, and He will be your sustainer. And the passage that I want to close with again is turn back to Psalm 116, because there's more to that passage that Nathan read this morning. And it's one that's meant to be read through the lens of encouragement. We all struggle. We all have our hurts. We all have our hurdles, our temptations. We all have our sins. And God knows these. And He's still an ever-giving God. And God's people knew this too. And it's what the psalmist has to say here in Psalm 126 that I think that could be an encouragement to us as we think about what the rest of the year has in store for us. But not just this year, but the next year and the years to come, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, for a lifetime to come. The psalmist says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed." And the psalmist calls God's people dreamers. And I would encourage us, in lieu of what we've discussed this morning, to dream, to think. What will God do? How will God move? Verse number 2, "Our mouths were filled with laughter then." That is when God restored the fortunes of Zion. "And our tongues with shouts of joy." And then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." And the Lord had done great things for them. We were joyful. There's 6 verses in this passage. We've only looked at 3 of them. Because it seems as if when things are going well and when we see God doing great things, oh, it's really easy for us to get behind something then and become passionate, become motivated, get excited, dream. Oh man, God's doing great things here. If He's doing such good things now, what does the future have in store? It's easy for us to bank on that. It's easy for us to, while things are going well, to focus on these things and have laughter and joy and peace. It's human nature to do these things. But we know just around the corner lies a struggle, lies a difficulty, lies a life-altering experience, a life-altering event for each and every one of us. So in the back of our minds, we may dream, but we also say this, but this could happen. So we manage our expectations. Things are going well now, but this could happen. So I prepare for the worst. But for God's people, It's much greater than that. And the psalmist, in some form of prophecy, actually speaks about the people of God. And I'm not just speaking about the Israelites. I'm not just speaking about us as Christians now, but I'm speaking for the rest of this thing called existence. They knew it. They knew that God had done good things for the people of Israel in the wilderness. They had watched it. They know that God had done good things for them as they created and established a kingdom. They knew that God had done good things, even though that kingdom had crumbled and they had been sent off to captivity. They turned their hearts to God and good things happened. They knew that good things would continue to happen. And we should too. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Psalm 126. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Though one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, we will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. Again, and this is just a little historical fact we'll pump in here. Not that I think that this is the most critical thing, but the Negev, this particular river that would spring up in the desert, was something that saved lives. And it was something that no one could prepare for. You may be traveling through a desert with no sustenance, no sustainment, and withering away slowly. And then this flash flood would come, and then there would be life-sustaining water. And this is the type of joy that we dream of, is true sustainment from God. You may be in a desert right now in your life. You may be in a place of isolation in your world right now where you feel you're alone. You know that God has done good things in the past, and maybe you question, Lord, where are you? Why are there no good things now? But I encourage you to dream. I encourage you to approach God with boldness and seek him and ask him. I encourage you to stretch your hand out and to ask. And I know that God will supply. If you are here this morning and you are looking for restoration, if you are looking for prayer, if you're seeking counseling, if you have need, we just ask that you would come forward. Maybe you don't feel comfortable coming forward now. Understand there are people here. Find a minister. Talk to myself. Talk to Alex. Let's begin this process, okay? But if we can meet a need this morning, we would encourage you to do so as we stand and sing.